I think that was the shortest song that we've sung here. Jim's done a great job, hasn't he, leading our singing? And he's doing double duty. He led singing at the 8 o'clock, and now he's also leading at the 9:30. So thank you, Jim, for your work. I want to say something to the kids that might be watching, who might be watching online or who are here in person. I want y'all to try to pay attention to my sermon the best that you can, and I want you to see if you can get something out of my sermon, because our youth minister, Lance, is trying to put together a video where kids share what they learned from Steve's sermon. And so right after worship or sometime today, if you want to take a video of your child sharing what they learned from the sermon, you can send it in to Lance or to the church office, and we're going to make a little collage, and we're going to show that next week. So kids, be sure and watch so you can know what to say for that video. Well, we haven't had our scripture reading this morning, and the reason why we haven't had that scripture reading is that I'm going to try to quote our scripture reading this morning. And I just got to admit to you, I didn't do very well at the 8 o'clock service. So extend some grace to me already. But we're starting a new series this morning, and that is a series from the book of Philemon. And I just felt like as we start this series, the best way to do this is to actually hear the letter as it was read to the church there. And so that's what I want to do as we get started. But let me set the stage for this letter for you. So the letter was written to a man named Philemon, who was a man who had some wealth and some means, and he lived in a small town called Colossae. The church in Colossae actually met at his home because he had some wealth and means, as I mentioned. And he had some slaves or servants as a part of his household. One of those was a man named Onesimus. And there was a falling out between Onesimus and Philemon. We don't know exactly what it was about, but there was a falling out, and Onesimus ran away. In the process of running away, he actually stole some money from Philemon and then ran away. Well, along comes Tychicus. Tychicus is one of Paul's co-workers. And Tychicus comes to the house church there at Philemon. And guess who Tychicus brings with him? Onesimus. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're in a room and somebody walks in the room and everybody gets nervous because that person, you know, that person has something against someone else in the room, and it's like, oh boy, what's getting ready to happen now? That was the feeling in that home. That church was tight-knit. Everybody knew what had happened with Onesimus and how he had stolen the money and he had left, and now he's back. What's going to happen now between Philemon and Onesimus? And Tychicus says, well, I have a letter for you, Philemon, and it's about Onesimus. So here's the letter. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church which meets in your home. Grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in my prayers because of your love for the saints and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I pray that the partnership that we share in faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we have for the sake of Christ. Your love gives me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, refresh the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ Jesus I could order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I, Paul, an old man, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, appeal to you on behalf of my son, Onesimus. He became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. And I'm sending him, who's my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him here so that he could have taken your place in helping me while I'm in chains from the gospel. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent so that any favor you do would not be forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps he was separated from you for a little while so that you could have him back forever, not as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother in the Lord. He is dear to me, but he's even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would accept me. And if he's done anything wrong or if he owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Though I should mention, you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I'm writing to you knowing that you're going to do far more than I even ask. And one more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings, as does Mark and Aristarchus, Luke and Demas, my fellow workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this ancient letter that Paul wrote to his dear friend Philemon over a serious matter. And Lord, even though this was an ancient letter from long ago, somehow in some way, pour through me the gift of teaching, and by your Holy Spirit, make this ancient letter come alive for us as a church. And help us to see that what Paul wrote about is as relevant today as it ever was before. In the name of Jesus we pray, and we all say together, amen. It'd be very tempting to assume that this letter that we call Philemon is just insignificant. I mean, after all, it's only 25 verses. It's 225 words. It doesn't talk about any kind of lofty theology like Romans does and talking about grace, or 1 Corinthians talking about the gifts of the Spirit, or even Galatians, which talks about the law. Philemon is just simply about two men and a conflict, an explosive conflict that these two brothers in the Lord have. I mean, why should we even bother with this letter? Let's just move on to Hebrews. What do you say? But actually, there's a New Testament scholar named N.T. Wright, very popular scholar, and he argues that if you really want to understand Paul's theology, the first letter that you should read, the first one is not Romans, it's not Galatians, it's not 1 Corinthians, it's Philemon. Why would he say that? Because in the midst of this letter, we have a conflict between a master and a slave, between one who is offended and one who is the offender. And these two men are now brothers in Christ. And can Paul's theology of grace, forgiveness, and reconciliation and unity, can Paul's theology actually happen when the rubber meets the road? Can these two men work things out? Can what has been torn between these two brothers actually be mended? That's what Philemon's all about. And whenever you start talking about conflict and division and things that have been torn apart, it's very easy to see very quickly how this letter applies to us today in 2020. Because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And this pandemic not only has created physical stress and not only emotional stress, it has created relational stress. This past week about how if you have a crack in a relationship before COVID, now that crack has become a rupture. And probably all of us in this room, we can, and those that are watching, probably know of some family who is struggling right now relationally. Maybe in their marriage, they're struggling. Maybe they're struggling with their kids as parents. Maybe they're struggling with their larger family relationships. We're unable to travel, to go see family, and so that's created stress. Divorce filings are up. Domestic abuse is on the rise. Children and parenting is constant struggle, it seems like, because of the pandemic. And on top of that, whenever we do get together with our families, that can bring tension in and of itself because there can be different opinions about how this gathering should go and what should happen. We can add to this work-related stress. Some of our relationships at work are difficult because when you're only communicating through Zoom or FaceTime, a simple misunderstanding can become a huge blow-up. And you add into all of these relational issues politics. And that just brings up a very caustic atmosphere. And all of these relational issues, they bleed into the church. And the church, which is a relational community, we're feeling strained and stressed right now. I was talking to my dad this past week, he's an elder at a church in Arkansas. And he told me, he said, I just feel like right now we need to be preaching a lot more on unity, because it's just so hard right now for churches to stay together. And I think he's right. I think he's right. I was talking to a preacher who preaches for a large congregation, has preached for a long time, and he was telling me, he said, you know, in all my years, I never thought that churches would divide over a mask. Churches have divided over so many things over the years, haven't they? Gender roles and worship wars and many other kinds of things. But could you ever imagine that churches could divide over a mask? And yet that's what we're seeing in churches. Churches are struggling to stay together and to be connected. And the politics around us is making it worse. It's so easy to look at someone who thinks differently than you about whatever the subject is, to look at that person and view them as inferior. And yet we do that. You can see that in the rhetoric that's being used politically when Republicans look at Democrats and say, well, all Democrats are socialists. Or when Democrats look at Republicans and say, well, all Republicans are racist. What are they doing? They're viewing others as inferior, calling them names because they think differently. Or when someone who's more safe-conscious and follows the safety protocols looks at someone who's more carefree as, well, they're foolish and uninformed. Or someone who is more carefree looks at someone who's safe-conscious and, oh, they're just fearful and uptight. What are we doing? We're viewing people as inferior because they're thinking a little bit differently. And all of that creates tension and it creates stress, and we feel it within the church. I want to stop right now. I want you to do something. I want you to think in your head right now about a relationship in your life that over the past 7 months has gotten worse. Maybe it's with your spouse. Maybe it's with a family member. Maybe it's with a brother or sister in the church. But a relationship that has gotten worse because of what's going on with this pandemic. You thinking about that? It doesn't require us to think very hard, does it? Because we're feeling this relational stress. And the question that I want us to think about is, how can you take what's torn, how can you take a relationship that's torn and put it back together? And that is precisely what Philemon is all about. How do you take a relationship that's been torn and put it back together? We need the letter of Philemon, and we need it now, and we need it today. Isn't that right? Y'all can say amen even though you have masks on. Thank you. You know, Paul, as he begins to write this letter, as I began to read it and study it, I started to get kind of confused at Paul. Because why does Paul even care about Onesimus and Philemon reconnecting? Because here's the situation. Paul was in prison in the 60s AD. And while he's in prison in Rome, Onesimus leaves Philemon, steals the money, as we talked about earlier, runs away, and somehow connects with Paul in Rome. And when he connects with Paul, Paul teaches him the gospel, and Onesimus becomes a Christian. And Paul figures out that Onesimus has this connection back to Philemon, back in Colossae. And Paul tells Onesimus, you're going to have to go back, and you're going to have to sort this out with Philemon. Now, why does Paul say that? Why doesn't Paul just simply tell Onesimus, don't worry about it. I know you got this thing with Philemon, but don't worry about it. Just stay here in Rome and help me, or go off to Greece and do mission work. We don't really need to deal with what happened in the past. You're a new person. You're a new creation in Jesus. You don't need to worry about this issue that you have with Philemon. Besides, Onesimus was a slave. He was a slave. Now, slavery in Roman times was a little different than it was in the 19th century here in America. Slavery in America was race-based, whereas slavery in Roman times was more class-based, status-based. And so Onesimus didn't have much status. And the one big no-no that a slave was not supposed to do was to run away from his master. Because now what that means is Onesimus goes back, Philemon could have him put in prison, Philemon could have him beaten up, Philemon could have him hurt or even killed because of the status that Philemon has and the lack of status that Onesimus has. So why would Paul tell Onesimus, you got to go back? That's putting Onesimus into trouble. Why would Paul say that? Why would he just say, don't worry about it? I mean, after all, that's what we normally do when there's conflict between two people, right? We just sweep it under the rug, act like it's not there. You go to that small group, I'll go to that small group. You go to that church, I'll go to that church. You go to that school, I go. We just separate and we don't deal with it. But Paul says, no, you got to deal with this, Onesimus. You got to go back. Why? Why do you care? And as I started to delve deeper into Scripture, I was reminded that when you read the teachings of Jesus, Jesus cares a whole lot about forgiveness and reconciliation. In fact, most of Jesus' teachings is either directly or indirectly about forgiveness. And Jesus said there's one reason why you can leave church. It was cold this morning during the 8 o'clock service. Said Jesus didn't say you could leave church if it was cold. But he said you could leave church if there was someone who has something against you. He said, leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled. Because it matters that much, Jesus says. Reconciliation matters. And if there's a brother or sister who has something against you, you need to deal with it. That was the message Jesus gave. The final prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 before his arrest and his death was a prayer for unity. Jesus cares about forgiveness, reconciliation, and unity. And because Jesus cared about it, Paul did too. And so he said, Onesimus, you got to go back. We got to deal with it. We got to work this out. We got to find a way. Now, the way Paul does this, I think, is quite peculiar. Because if you were listening as I was quoting Philemon, at the beginning part of the letter, Paul says to Philemon, our dear brother, fellow worker, and to Apphia, and to Archippus, and to the church which meets in your home. That Paul doesn't say, okay, Onesimus, you and Philemon, y'all go get back in the back room and behind closed doors, you sort this out. No, Paul says, this is going to happen before the church. This is a public matter. Now, why would Paul say that? It's because he understood that if Philemon and Onesimus don't sort this thing out, it is going to spell doom for the identity of the church. You have two brothers, one who's a master, one who's a slave, one who's been offended, one who's been the offender. And if they can't work this out, then this whole idea of church and unity and grace and forgiveness, it all goes out the window. And so Paul says, I want you to deal with this in front of the church, in the middle of the church. If you keep reading in Philemon to verse 4, Paul mentions a very important phrase. And that phrase is the koinonia of faith. That's the Greek word. Say that with me. The koinonia of faith. It's translated the partnership of faith or the fellowship of faith. Paul believed that our faith has a communal element to it. That it's not simply that you have your faith and you have your faith and y'all kind of do your own thing and you have your own walk with the Lord and you just, if you don't agree, well, you just go to your own separate ways. Paul says, no, that's not the way it works. Faith has a communal element to us. We share our faith together as church. There's a partnership, a koinonia that we share. And that sharing, that partnership, it stretches over race. It stretches over gender. It stretches over status. And it stretches over misgivings and failings. This is what Paul would talk about in Galatians 3, verse 28, when he says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul believed that. And so he says to Onesimus, you got to go back. You and Philemon, you got to sort this out because you got to show this is what Christian community is all about. That a master and a slave can sit at the same table and despite there's been wrongdoing in the past, they can forgive one another and they can be family. That's what church is all about. And so Paul writes this letter. And essentially in this letter, what he's doing is he takes the hand of Philemon and he takes the hand of Onesimus, and he says, brothers, I know there's differences. I know we don't see eye to eye. I know we're at different statuses, but we're family, and we can work this out. And church, that's what Jesus can do for all of us. In our divisive time, in our time where we're being pulled many different directions by the media sources that we hear and we listen to, in a time where we all have different perspectives and it's easy to put somebody down because they don't see it the way you do, that we need to be reminded that we have a communal faith, a partnership in faith that we share, and it stretches over our political affiliation. Amen. It stretches over race. Amen. It stretches over even wrongdoings that we might commit or offenses that we may. It stretches over that. That we're family and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can grab hands and we can sit down at the same table and we can be one. 6 feet apart, but at the same table and be family. Christ can take the hand of a Republican and take the hand of a Democrat and can say, guys, we can work this out. We can be brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ can take the hand of someone who is very wealthy and someone who is very poor and says, guys, we can be family. We can do it. And Christ can take the hand of someone who's been the offender and take the hand of the one who is offended. And he can say, guys, we can forgive one another. We can work through the cross. We can show grace. And we can be family. That's what Philemon's all about. That's why this letter was written, to remind us that whatever issue or difficulty or division that might come into our relationships, Christ can bring us together. He can bring us together. I want you to go back to that person you were thinking of earlier, who you've gotten farther away from over the past 7 months. I want you to think about that person. And over the next month, as we study Philemon, I want you to pray for that person that Christ will bring you two together. And we're going to talk about how Christ does that in the next 3 weeks. But we start with this truth. Christ can bring us together. No matter what separates us, Christ can do it through the cross. Paul believed it. That's why he wrote that letter. And that's what we need to hear. And when we understand that truth, it causes us to be bridge builders. And right now in our society, we need bridge builders. I mentioned at the early service that I learned a new word this past week. Maybe it's a new word for you. It's called doom scrolling. Anyone heard of that word before? Doom scrolling. No, I've taught you a new word. Doom scrolling. Here's what it means. It's what you do when it's late at night and it's time for you to go to bed, but instead you have your phone out and you're scrolling on social media, and you know that what you're reading all this bad news, and it's depressing you, but you just keep scrolling, and you keep scrolling, and you're like, I need to go to bed, but you just keep scrolling. That's doom scrolling, okay? We might have some doom scrollers in the audience. But what's happening in our culture is people are getting so tired of the bad news they're hearing. They are searching for good news. People are typing into Google good news because they want to hear it. National Geographic is putting out good news editions because they realize people want to hear good news. Media outlets are developing columns that just talk about good news because they realize people are searching for good news. And the message of Philemon is we've got some really good news in this divisive time, in this time when people are being pulled apart. We have the answer to how people can come together. It's through Jesus. And that's good news. You know, we don't know what happened after Paul sent this letter, but my assumption is that letter is in our Bibles. Because when Philemon read that letter, it convicted his heart, and he and Onesimus worked things out. And that letter is in our Bibles as a message of hope that whatever relationship in your life is difficult, whatever relationship has been torn apart in your family, through Christ, by the power of Christ, by the grace of Christ, it can be mended. It can be mended. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the power of Jesus and the grace of Jesus that we see at the cross that can take a master, it can take a slave, and bring them together and make them family, make them brothers, make them sisters. Lord, I pray that during this time, you would take each one of us and you would help us to be bridge builders in the relationships in our lives where things have been torn apart or drifted apart, that we would step in and we would grab one another's hands and we would say, through Christ, we can make this work. And so let's try. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And we all say together, amen. We're going to have our invitation, and if we can pray for you and encourage you, maybe there's a relationship that you were thinking of that you need prayers for. We want to pray with you about that. We're going to have people up here at the front to pray with you. You can come to the front. We'll pray for you. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away, to obey the gospel, just like Onesimus did, we've got plans on how to do that. We would love to welcome you into God's family. Just come to the front as we sing this song. Let's come now as together we sing this song.